Gopi jana vala ba girivadhari. Yashoda nandana vrajajana ranjana. Yashoda nandana vrajajana ranjana. Yamuna tiravanachari. Yamuna tiravanachari. Yamuna tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna tiravanachari. Yamuna tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Randana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajana Randana. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Yamuna Tiravanachari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Puri Vrajakacharja Ashtotra Shatashishimad. His Divine Grace Iskan Thamnaracharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaura Premanandi. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 7, Text. Let's see, must be 6. Sampracharastu nana yageshu virachitanga kriyeshu apurvam yattat kriya palam dharmakyam pare brahmani yagya purushe sarva devata ninganam mantranam artaniyama kataya sakshat katari para devatayam bhagavati vasudeva eva bhavayamana atma naipunya mridita krashayo havi havsvayurvir krihamanishu sayajamano yagya bhajo devantan purushavayevish abhavyadayat sampracharastu. When beginning to perform nana yageshu, various kinds of sacrifice, virachata anga kriyeshu, in which the supplementary rites were performed, apurvam, remote, yat, whatever, tat, that, kriyapalam, the result of such sacrifice, dharma akyam, by the name of religion, pare, unto the transcendence, brahmani, the supreme lord, yagya purushe, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, sarva devata linganam, which manifest all the demigods, mantranam, of the Vedic hymns, artaniyama kataya, due to being the controller of the objects, sakshad kartari, directly the performer, para devatayam, the origin of all demigods, Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, unto Krishna, Eva, certainly. Bhavayamanaha, always thinking. Atma naipunyam riditi kshayaha, freed from all lust and anger by his expertise in such thinking. Havishu, the ingredients to be offered in the sacrifice. Advaryu bihi, when the priest's expert in the sacrifice is mentioned in the Atharva Veda. Kriyumaneshu, taking. Saha, Maharaj Bharat, Yajamanaha, the sacrificer, Yajabhajaha, the recipients of the results of sacrifice, Devan, all the demigods, Tan, them, Purusha Avayaveshu, of different parts of the limbs of the body, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Abhyadhyayat, he thought. Translation, after performing the preliminaries of various sacrifices, Maharaj Bharat offered the results in the name of religion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. In other words, he performed all the yajnas for the satisfaction of Lord Vasudeva, Krishna. Maharaj Bharat thought that since the demigods were different parts of Vasudeva's body, he controls those who are explained in the Vedic mantras. By thinking in this way, Maharaj Bharat was freed from all material contamination, such as attachment, lust, and greed. When the priests were about to offer the sacrificial ingredients into the fire, Maharaj Bharat expertly understood how the offerings made to different demigods was simply an offering to the different limbs of the Lord. For instance, Indra is the arm of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Surya, the sun, is his eye. Thus, Maharaj Bharat considered that the oblations offered to different demigods were actually offered unto the different limbs of Lord Vasudeva. Purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says that as long as one does not develop the pure devotional service of śravanam kirtanam, hearing and chanting, one must carry out his prescribed duties. Since Bharat Maharaj was a great devotee, one may ask why he performed so many sacrifices which are actually meant for karmis. The fact is that he was simply following the orders of Vasudeva. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva dharman purityaja mamekam saranam vaja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Whatever we do, we should constantly remember Vasudeva. People are generally addicted to offering obeisances to various demigods, but Bharat Maharaj simply wanted to please Lord Vasudeva. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Voktaram Yagatabasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Bhagavad Gita 5:29. A yajna may be carried out to satisfy a particular demigod, but when the yajna is offered to the yajna Purusha, Narayan, the demigods are satisfied. The purpose of performing different yajnas is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. One may perform them in the name of different demigods or directly. If we directly offer oblations to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demigods are automatically satisfied. If we water the root of a tree, the branches, twigs, fruits, and flowers are automatically satisfied. When one offers sacrifices to different demigods, one should remember that the demigods are simply parts of the body of the Supreme. If we worship the hand of a person, we intend to satisfy the person himself. If we massage a person's legs, we do not really serve the legs, but the person who possesses the legs. All the demigods are different parts of the Lord, and if we offer service to them, we actually serve the Lord himself. Demigod worship mentioned in Brahma Samhita Demigod worship is mentioned in Brahma Samhita, but actually the shlokas advocate worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda. For instance, worship of the goddess Durga is mentioned this way in Brahma Samhita 5.44. Shrishti shtiti pralaya sadhana shaktireka chayeva yasya bhavanani viparti Durga ichanurupam api yasya cha chistateyasa Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Following the orders of Sri Krishna, the goddess Durga creates, maintains, and annihilates. Sri Krishna also confirms this statement in Bhagavad Gita. Mayajakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. Bhagavad Gita 9.10. We should worship the demigods in that spirit. Because the goddess Durga satisfies Krishna, we should therefore offer respects to goddess Durga. Because Lord Shiva is nothing but Krishna's functional body, we should therefore offer respects to Lord Shiva. There are many offerings to different demigods, and one should always remember that these offerings are usually meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bharat Maharaj did not aspire to receive some benediction from the demigods. His aim was to please the Supreme Lord. In the Mahabharata, among the thousand names of Vishnu, it is said Yajna Bhug, Yajna Krit, Yajna Ha. The enjoyer of Yajna, the performer of Yajna, and Yajna itself are the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is the performer of everything, but out of ignorance, the living entity thinks that he is the actor. As long as we think we are the actors, we bring about karma bandha, bondage to activity. If we act for yajna, for Krishna, there is no karma bandha. Yajyartart kamano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work binds one to this material world. Bhagavad Gita 3.9. Following the instructions of Bharat Maharaj, we should act not for our personal satisfaction, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 17.28 also it is stated, Ashadhaya hutam dattam tapas taptam kritam chayat asad it yuchate parta nachayat prityanau iha. Sacrifices, austerities, and charities performed without faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-permanent. Regardless of whatever rituals are performed, they are called asat, non-permanent. They are therefore useless both in this life and in the next. Kings like Maharaj Amrish and many other Rajarshis who are pure devotees of the Lord simply pass their time in the service of the Supreme Lord. When a pure devotee executes some service through the agency of another person, he should not be criticized, for his activities are meant for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. A devotee may have a priest perform some karma kanda, and the priest may not be a pure Vaishnava, but because the devotee wants to please the Supreme Lord, he should not be criticized. The word apurva is very significant. The resulting actions of karma are called apurva. When we act piously or impiously, immediate results do not ensue. We therefore wait for the results, which are called apurva. The results are manifest in the future. Even the smartas accept this apurva. Pure devotees simply act for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the results of their activities are spiritual or permanent. They are not like those of the karmis, which are non-permanent. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.23. Gata sangyasya muktasya jnanavastita chetasaha yagyacharutara karma samagram pravaliyate. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. A devotee is always free from material contamination. He is fully situated in knowledge, and therefore his sacrifices are intended for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Aganati Mirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. This is one of the major themes of Vaishnav theology that the devas, the Sanskrit word deva in English has become divine or device or to devise. All of these words come from Sanskrit. English is just a perverted reflection of Sanskrit, interestingly enough. So the devas are, ignorant people think the devas are the supreme. So ignorant people in India especially, they worship various demigods, but all the shastras loudly and unequivocally proclaim that these devas are just servants of Krishna. So you're missing the boat if you actually worship the demigods. You're missing out. You're missing the boat, because the demigods can only give you material benedictions, which are temporary. Whereas if you worship Vishnu, what to speak of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, you get ecstatic love of God. If you get ecstatic love of God, all your material desires evaporate, Lord Kapila says in 3rd Canon, chapter 25. When your material desires are gone and you're no longer tortured by lust and greed, then you feel ecstasy at every moment. See, material desires are a cheating process. You're cheating yourself. You're allowing yourself to be cheated by your material mind. The material mind always concocts. It's just like a little child. The child says, "Daddy, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me this." It's always, the mind is like that. Give me this, just give me this. I got to have this. And it throws a tantrum. If you don't gratify it immediately, it's just like a child. The mind is simply like a foolish child. Therefore, Bhagavatam says again and again, just a few verses earlier, Lord Rishabhdev was saying that Shukadeva Goswami was saying, when a hunter captures a wild animal, he doesn't relax his vigilance because the animal can attack him at any moment. When you've just captured the animal before you've constrained it in any way, it's a dangerous element. In the same way, Shukadeva Goswami says, even though you have achieved some footing in yogic process and the mind is relatively under control, you should never put your faith in that mind, because that mind is ready to cheat you at any moment, because that's its nature. The mind is as part of the material energy. It's not a spiritual entity. It speaks to you. It seems like a person, but it's actually not a person. It's one of the eight Bina Prakriti, Krishna lists in Bhagavad Gita, separated material elements. So the mind, intelligence, and false ego are not actually personality. They're not conscious. They function like conscious entities because they're being empowered by you, the Atma, and Paramatma. Otherwise, they have no power to do anything. So by this strategy, you can actually weaken your mind, the material mind, and dissolve it. Lord Kapila says it is to be dissolved, because the material mind is simply a function of it simply functions to take you away from Krishna. The subtle body is grafted onto the soul when the soul wants to give up his constitutional position of devotional service to Krishna. As you're leaving the spiritual world, Krishna tries to talk you out of it. We are among the unfortunate few. Most living entities stay there. We should understand that coming to the material world is a perverted action. It's a criminal action performed by the minority of souls. So we came here. Krishna, out of his love, he said, he tried to talk us out of it. He gave us free psychological counseling. When someone freaks out, they need some free psychological counseling. So Krishna is very merciful. He provided that. And actually some people agree to stay at that point, but unfortunately some don't. What can be done? So when you leave, even to enjoy the material energy, you need Krishna's help. So the first stage of Krishna's helping you to become the enjoyer, the big Hiranyakashipu of the material world, the first stage is he grafts onto the soul the subtle body. And the subtle body ceaselessly, 24 hours a day, says, "You're so great, you're so powerful, you're so good looking, you're so attractive, you're very soon people are going to notice your glories and your qualities and all, you sing so beautifully and you're so intelligent, you give such good class, you lead such good care," on and on, endlessly. That's the function of the subtle body. So the subtle body is diametrically opposed to devotion. It's designed that way. The mind is a material element. Just as water runs downhill, naturally the mind runs towards sense gratification. No one should be surprised. "Oh God, I've been practicing for 10 years, I'm still being attacked by sex desire." Well, that's because you haven't... 10 years is nothing compared to 10 million lifetimes. You've been loitering in the Hiranyakashipu program, the God project. We're trying to carry out the God program of becoming God. So the subtle body, there is no compromise. It simply has to be destroyed. It's your enemy. It's designed to perform the function of keeping you in the material world. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, the business of your mind is to keep you in the material world forever. Now, if you want to be in the material world forever, then you're happy with that. You're comfortable. See, karmi, walking out, they're happy with the mind's programs. They don't see anything wrong with that. But we as aspiring, as sadhakas, a sadhaka means someone who aspires to achieve pure love of God and be reinstated in his original position of devotional service to Krishna or Narayan in the spiritual world. We are sadhakas. That means we don't like this mind. We don't feel comfortable with it. There's something wrong. That's how you know you're a genuine sadhaka. You're not happy with sense gratification. You may be forced occasionally into sense gratification due to the power of your previous habits, but then you feel bad. A real devotee feels ashamed when he engages in sense gratification. When due to his mind, when he stares at a sense object that he had rejected, if he feels bad, oh, this is very bad. He prays to Krishna, please forgive me. I'm a fool and rascal, number one. And if the sadhaka is more proactive by filling your mind and consciousness with thoughts of Krishna, Krishna's holy name and pastimes, then you don't allow Maya any time to enter. No time for Maya. In the 70s, devotees would say, sorry, Prabhu, no time for Maya. That's very good. You should push, the sadhaka must push himself for one engagement next, one engagement, never allowing the mind to space out. If you're working in the kitchen, you should be singing Krishna's holy name, or you should be listening to a kirtan or listening to a lecture. There should be no prajalpa in the kitchen. It's very offensive. You're cooking for the Supreme Personality of God who came here out of his mercy. He didn't come here to enjoy. The Supreme Lord comes here in the Archamurti to help us advance. That's the only reason he's here. He doesn't need our service. He has trillions of pure devotees in Goloka Vrindavan who serve him on such a scale as we cannot even dream of in our wildest dreams. He didn't come here to eat our pakoras. He will accept our pakoras if we're offering them with love. And there's no question. At our stage, love means rigid execution of sadhana. We don't have spontaneous love. That's out of the question. But how do you demonstrate that you want to be reinstated in love? By rigid execution of sadhana bhakti. And the first principle of sadhana bhakti is always remember Krishna, never forget it. And smaranam proceeds after shravanam kirtanam, in the nine angas of bhakti that Prahlad Maharaj mentions in the seventh canto, chapter 5, these nava anga. The first anga is hearing. You can't speak if you haven't heard. So step A is to hear attentively. You should be hanging on every word of the Bhagavad theology. So as you're hearing, as you hear nicely, then you want to speak. That's shravana. Kirtana. So in the kitchen, there should be only two activities. Shravanam, kirtanam. Of course, your body is engaged. But for the mind and voice, it is shravanam, kirtanam. Those are the only two activities acceptable in the holy kitchen of the Lord. Prabhupada said the kitchen is an extension of the altar. The same standards of cleanliness which one would use on the altar should be implemented in the kitchen. And the first cleanliness is cleanliness of the mind. The mind is unclean if it's thinking of anything that's not Krishna. So hearing and chanting, and if you do this right, you'll be in ecstasy. Just working in the kitchen is a very ecstatic thing, actually. If it's done in right context, it's so nectarian. I joined on Lord Nisringadev's appearance day, May 5th, 1982, I was a physics grad student at University of California, San Diego. I'm very puffed up, naturally, being a physics. But I thought, okay, let me try, because the devotees had been coming to the college. They were bringing out halava and sweet rice. That was enough to after 5 kilos of strawberry halava and 10 gallons of mango sweet rice, I changed my philosophy, my impersonalistic philosophy. I thought this impersonalism is very boring. This is so boring. Whereas the devotees, they have really juicy, literally juicy and tasty philosophy. So I said, okay, I'm going to try it. I came and I fasted with the devotees. Fast the whole day. And I worked really hard. I was cleaning the floor. Even though I was puffed up grad student, I thought, okay, I'm going to set aside my mental preconceptions. Oh, my dear mind, I'm sure you'll still be there in a few hours. Just give me a break for a few hours and let me try sadhana bhakti. You don't have to worry. If your mind is, like during japa, your mind is, oh yes, it's very important. I'm sure that whatever you're saying is extremely valuable, but just give me a break for 2 hours and let me chant my rounds. Then I will happily attend to all of your philosophy and desires and whatever else you have. Just please go away for 2 hours and let me chant my rounds. So I did it. I actually set aside all my... You have to... Sarva upadhi vinir muktam. What does Rupa Goswami say? Sarva means all. Upadhi means designations. That's what separates you from Krishna. I'm thinking I'm a physicist. Oh, I'm so learned. Someone else is thinking, oh, I'm a beautiful woman. I'm so attractive. I'm this, I'm that. These are designations. In Sanskrit, they're called upadhi. Sarva means all. Sarva upadhi vinir muktam, mukti. Actually, Vaishnavas are now... When you're advanced, you're not interested in mukti. But in the beginning stage, you should be interested in becoming free from these upadhis. And how do you do it? By constantly hearing and chanting about Krishna. Because the upadhis manifest within your heart in terms of thoughts and desires, but you don't give them a chance to act if you're always thinking and chanting about Krishna. The mind should be filled with Krishna lila, or Krishna's holy name, or if you're not so advanced as to accept the process of constant hearing and chanting, then philosophy. Bhagavad Gita philosophy, then you should be meditating. Why I should be constantly hearing it. Then you need to understand the philosophy of how you're being crushed by the material energy step by step, like sugarcane through the two wheels in India. They stuff the sugarcane through and it just crushes you. So that's what the function of the material energy is to punish you as long as you don't want to serve Krishna. So Maya is a pure devotee. She's very alert to her task. She first attracts you and then she beats you in the head. When you go for her allurements, then she punches and kicks you. You fool. Why aren't you serving Vasudev, as described in this verse? But we're kind of dull, so we do it a few hundred million times until we wake up. But ultimately, Maya's the best preacher. After sufficient kicks and beatings, everyone wakes up. It's simply a matter of time. The material energy is so unpalatable. It's designed for your suffering. This is a key point. It is designed to make you suffer. It is not random. Oh, maybe there'll be some difficulties. It's guaranteed. It's only which kind of suffering will I receive? That's the only question. As you're getting old, the question, which will fail first? My lungs, kidney, heart, which? It's not a question of if something will go wrong. It must go wrong because it's designed like that. It's designed like that. If you go like to an old folks home, all they're talking about is their various kinds of physical problems. My father's 90 years old. He could make an entire list of things that's wrong. It's built like that. The simple point is it's built for pain. So it takes only 3 functional brain cells to see that this place is not for our enjoyment. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a quantum physicist to figure out that this place isn't where it's at. So once you've decided that this place isn't where it's at, what to do then? Constant hearing and chanting about Krishna's name and pastimes. This is the process given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Once you've understood that this place is built for suffering and you want to get out of here, then the only business is hearing and chanting Krishna's holy name and pastimes. And there's no shortage of pastimes upon which to meditate. The Bhagavatam is huge. Chaitanya Charitamrita is huge. Chaitanya Bhagavat. There's so many shastras. This is the wealth, shastradan it's called. The wealth of the Vaishnava is the shastras, the holy shastras, the leelas of the Lord are so inconceivable. So beautiful, the pastimes. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, there's Navadvip Leela and there's Vrindavan Leela. And Navadvip Leela concentrates on Audarya or mercy. And Vrindavan Leela is Madhurya Leela, the sweetness. Krishna's sweetness is prominent in Vrindavan and Krishna's mercy is prominent in Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful, he doesn't accept offense. There's only one offense if you offend a Vaishnava. Then Lord Chaitanya will punish you severely. There was one Brahmin named Gopal Chapala, Chapala Sukha. Gopal Chapala, he was very rough in his speech and he was very offensive. He took pleasure in offending and blaspheming people. So he thought, this Srivas, he has locked the door. They're having these ecstatic kirtans we were hearing behind the locked doors of Srivas and Srivas Thakur's house. Only the purest of the pure were admitted to this kirtan. So, under the order of the Lord, so the doors were locked, and one Brahmin, Gopal Chapala, he was banging the door, "Let me in. I'm also pure, can't you see? Can't you tell? I have all good qualities. I'm learned. I've studied all the shastras, and I'm humble besides that." Aside from having all good qualities, I'm humble on top of all that. "So let me in the door." He was banging the door, and the Lord would not even order. The Lord ordered it must be locked, and when the kirtan began, the material faded into oblivion, because these are pure devotees. These are not Sakama Bhaktas struggling with material desires, struggling to wake up from Mangalarti. These are Nitya Siddhas, Gopas and Gopis from Vraj Leela, transplanted to Navadvip for Navadvip Leela. So the kirtan, when the kirtan began, the sweetness of the holy name conquered all the hearts of the devotees. The devotees were crying, tears. It's described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. It is as though Goddess Ganga manifested from the eyes of all the devotees. Tears were flowing. They were roaring. Some devotees were roaring like lions. Other devotees were rolling on the floor in ecstasy. Other devotees would grab hold of the feet of other devotees. They were so grateful for the mercy of the Vaishnavas. They would embrace other Vaishnavas, catch hold of their feet. Devotees would embrace in ecstasy, and tears were flowing. These are pure devotees. This is the nectar of pure devotional service. And that's all Lord Chaitanya wanted for these particular kirtans. Later he manifested openly. This was before the Sankirtan movement began, actually. Before the Lord was freely distributing to everyone. And so in this case, he was simply relishing the ecstasies of Vraj Prem. The kirtans of House of Shivas are like the Madhurya Leela in Vrindavan, actually. Because these are all exalted Vaishnavas. So this Gopal Chapala, he became infuriated. "How they have not let me in? What is this?" So he thought, I shall get back at this Shivas. So he has collected all paraphernalia for worship of Goddess Durga. He wanted Shivas to be made to look as though he were a Shakta. That means a worshiper of Durga. Because in Bengal, the low-class people worship Durga, the thieves, rascals, low-class people, murderers and dacoits, they worship the Goddess Durga. Because they're not up for worshiping Vishnu. And to worship Vishnu, you have to follow some rules and regulations. Try to elevate yourself to the mode of goodness. But the Shaktas, they're not into the mode of goodness. So he put on the doorstep wine, meat, big chunks of meat and wine and horrible stuff, abominable. So the next morning when the doors opened the door, they saw all this horrible paraphernalia and thought, "Oh, this is bad." But Shrivas, he was saying, "This is very good. Now everyone can see how fallen I am." He took it as an opportunity to advertise his fallen nature. But the devotees, no one believed it. Shrivas assembled all the townsfolk and he said, "Now just see, the truth is revealed. I'm a low-class Shakta." And the townspeople said, "Come on, we don't believe this. Obviously you're exalted, pure devotee of the Lord." And they said, "Whoever did this sinful activity is awaiting punishment very soon." So after 3 days, this Gopal Chapala, Shivas was not, the devotee, if a devotee is offended, he doesn't take personal offense. He thinks it's true, actually. "I'm a most fallen, nonsense person. I left Krishna association to come to the material world." Even if he didn't, Shrivas is Nitya Siddha. He's Narada Muni, exalted, pure devotee. So, after 3 days, this Gopal Chapala contracted leprosy, which is a horrible disease. Your fingers melt away, they erode away, and your nose falls off, and your ears, all your extremities melt away. It's very painful. And you can't live with people. You have to go to the... You have to leave the town. You live in a place outside of town. So he was really suffering horribly. This Gopal Chapala, he was suffering terribly. But he didn't understand why. So one time he saw Lord Chaitanya, and he understood that Lord Chaitanya was a very powerful person. So he began begging him, "Please, I know you have all mystic powers. Please free me from this horrible leprosy." Lord Chaitanya said, "This is just the beginning of your suffering." He looked with red eyes. He was furious. "This is just, if you can't tolerate this, do you know what's going to happen to you next? You're going to Yamalok. You're going to suffer for millions of births, for 10 million births, because you have offended Shivas." And Gopal was crying and begging. I cannot free you. This offense is so great. Only Srivas can free you. So he went to Srivas, and Srivas is an ocean of mercy. Kripa Sindhu. The Vaishnavas are glorified as Kripa Sindhu. Sindhu means ocean. They're ocean of mercy. So Srivas immediately forgave him, and then Lord Chaitanya gave him love of God. After his offense was nullified, he received ecstatic love of God. So these are wonderful pastimes of the Lord, pastimes of mercy. Lord Chaitanya would teach also. He would teach the horrendous results of Vaishnava aparadha. There are many pastimes, actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, again and again, that are warning us, instructing us, do not offend Vaishnavas. And it doesn't mean only advanced Vaishnavas. Every Vaishnava, even the newest bhakta, Krishna thinks that person is very wonderful. He's trying to surrender. Okay, he's not perfect, but he's trying to surrender. Therefore, he's dear. Even the newest devotee is very dear to the Lord. We should treat every devotee with great love, great awe and reverence. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, I beg the mercy of all Vaishnavas, whether they be neophyte or advanced. This is very important in our dealing. We should be very careful in our dealings. There are many pastimes that show this. There's another pastime also involving a Brahmin named Gopal. This was a Gopal Chakravarti. He was a tax collector for Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdara. These are the father and uncle of the great Raghunath Das Goswami. They were so rich. They were millionaires. They had millions of gold coins. And in those days, you know, they didn't even use this paper currency. They had gold coins, millions. They were really fantastically wealthy, Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar. And they employed one tax collector named Gopal Chakravarti. And one day, Govardhan and Hiranya, they wanted to have an assembly of Vaishnavas to discuss the glories of Krishna's holy name. So who is better? Who is more knowledgeable on the glories of Krishna's holy name than Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur? So they invited the great Thakur to come and discourse. The Thakur was very humble, of course, when he came. He said, you are all learned scholars. You know much better than me. And they said, come on. We know the realities. He's chanting 300,000 holy names a day. His entire eating and sleeping took 2 hours. And sometimes he forgot to eat or sleep. Can you imagine forgetting to eat? We may, out of trying to impress the other devotees and with our high level of austerity, we may fast or do other... We're hoping that everyone will notice how austere we are. But we're not forgetting about the... our mind is thinking about the eating. When will I get... After I do all my yajnas, so I get... First of all, I can get worshipped and honored by everybody else. And then when no one's looking, I can get some sweet rice and halava. So there's no question of forgetting on a fast day, or else we may get angry at Krishna. Why is he making me fast? Why is Lord Nrisimhadev making me fast all day? This is not very nice. So we're thinking all day long about prasadam. So that's the neophyte platform. When we hopefully, by the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna, we advance a little bit, we'll actually, on the fast day, we'll become so absorbed in hearing and chanting, we may even forget for a few minutes or a few hours about prasadam. So Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami, all of the Goswamis, that's what it means to be a Goswami. They would sometimes, when they're the pages of the Bhagavatam that Rupa Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami would sit together and recite Bhagavatam, the pages of the Bhagavatam were dissolving because they were crying, their tears of love were destroying the pages of their Bhagavatam. That's how exalted they were. So they would just sometimes go for a few days not eating anything, not even sleeping at all. Because they're actually pure devotees, they're nitya siddhas. They never identified with the physical body. The problem is identifying with the body, which we're addicted to for many lifetimes. So they don't function in that way. So Haridas Thakur, he was there, and the learned scholar said, we know about your glories. You're chanting 300,000 holy names. That takes more than 20 hours a day. It takes 20 hours to chant. 300,000 is 192 rounds. So that's more than 10 times what we chant. He chanted, so 100,000 names is 64 rounds. As Lord Chaitanya, he told the Brahmins, I will only accept lunch from one who is Lakshesvara. So that's a Lakshesvara is the master of 100,000 holy names. That's 64 rounds. So Lord Chaitanya would only accept an invitation. The Brahmins invited him regularly for lunch, but he refused to accept an invitation from anyone who chanted less than 64 rounds a day. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur always said that if you chant less than 64 rounds a day, you're fallen. Except for the preacher. 16 rounds is, if someone is fully engaged in preaching work, then he is permitted to chant 16 rounds also, because preaching is so pleasing to Krishna. But 16 is the minimum. You're not even considered a human being if you chant less than 16 rounds. Because we know you become so mad after sense gratification. If you don't chant 16 rounds, the mind impels you so much we become like an animal, literally. So how did the great scholars in this assembly of the Majjhimadharas, this is described in Anchalila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila chapter 1 or 2. So they had this glorious assembly, and they said, the learned scholars said, we know your glories. You may try to hide them, but we know your position. You're chanting 20 hours a day, and you're eating and sleeping only takes 2 hours a day, and then you preach for two hours a day, the glories of the holy name. So he did everything. He was a perfect preacher. He was a perfect practitioner of chanting. So Lord Chaitanya elevated him to the position of Nam Acharya. Even though he was born in an outcast family, Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach all the smarta Brahmins. A smarta Brahmin means one who's interested only in rules and regulations without the substance behind all the Vedic regulations, which is to elevate you to the position of love of God. They're very proud, these smarta Brahmins. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach all the smarta Brahmins. He elevated this. Haridas Thakur was born in an outcast family, in a Muslim family. So the smarta Brahmins wouldn't even look at Muslims. They considered them untouchable. So in their estimation, Haridas Thakur was untouchable and degraded, but actually he was the greatest of pure devotees. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach that he wasn't interested in this materialistic designations, these upadis. He wanted to teach that if a person has the qualifications of a Vaishnava, he should be recognized as a Vaishnava. So the learned scholars, they insisted that Haridas speak. So Haridas began to describe the glories of the Lord. He said, initial stages of chanting are nam aparad, you're making offenses to the holy name. And when you try to avoid these offenses, consciously, you're very carefully, diligently trying to avoid them, that then you are elevated to nam abhas, which is the clearing stage. Abhas means reflection. Then you're receiving a reflection of the holy name. But even a reflection of the holy name guarantees liberation, Haridas said in this assembly. Chanting a namabhas guarantees you liberation. But shudhanam, then beyond namabhas, when you receive after a long time the mercy of the Vaishnavas and Krishna and Guru, then you're elevated to pure nam, shudhanam. Shuddha means pure, vishuddha or shuddha. Then you experience ecstatic love of God, he explained to the learned assembly. So liberation is not considered very important. Haridas said, insignificant byproduct of chanting the holy name. Insignificant byproduct. So Haridas liberally quoted from appropriate shastras. He was wonderful. His exposition was everyone was in ecstasy except this envious Gopal Chakravarti. He said, what do you mean just by chanting the holy name you get liberation? Yogis have to undergo so many austerities. He couldn't understand the difference between non-devotional austerities and devotional realizations because he was himself a non-devotee. So, a smart Brahmin, Gopal Chakravarti. So he began, he angrily, offensively began speaking to Haridas Thakur. What do you mean that simply by chanting the holy name you get liberation and then love of God? And yogis have to struggle for many lifetimes. How dare you? How emotional. You're a bhavuka. You're a sentimentalist. And then... He went beyond this. He said, if you cannot get liberation by chanting the holy name, I'll cut off your nose, he said, this offensive Gopal Chakravarti. He said directly to Haridas Thakur. Everyone in the assembly said, they couldn't believe they heard, you rascal, get out of here. They go over to Hirani. They said, get out of here. They dismissed him because he was supposed to work. He was working. He was employed by them. He said, get out of here. I don't want to see your face again. You're going to suffer hellish reactions for offending the great Thakur Haridas. They threw him out. Then with folded hands, they all fell at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur and begged forgiveness. And Haridas Thakur said, it's not a problem that he I don't take the offense seriously. But 3 days later, apparently threes are important, like tri bhuvana. Ebyash gushu tri bhuvana. So threes, the three, his fame is spread throughout the three worlds we sing to glorify Prabhupada. So three is an apparently a significant number, either for good or for bad. So after 3 days, this Gopal Chakravarti, his own nose fell off from his nose, because he had told Haridas he would cut off his nose. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, this pastime is in Anchilila chapter 3, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Haridas, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, he's the compiler of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that it is the nature of a pure devotee to not accept offenses himself. He doesn't consider the offense. And it's the nature of the Supreme Lord to not tolerate offenses to his pure devotee. So that Krishna made that Brahmin suffer severely. He got leprosy, and he had to suffer horrendously because of offending Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was so exalted, even what to speak of a verbal offense. The Muslims, when I told the pastime a couple days ago in class, when the Qazi was outraged, because as the smartest were thinking that Haridas was fallen because he was a Muslim, the Muslims were thinking that he was fallen because he adopted Hinduism. Everyone has this mundane upadis, these conceptions. That's why we want to get free from this nonsense. So the Muslims were thinking he's blasphemous, he's offensive because he's given up his own pure religion of Islam and he's taken to the Hindu religion, chanting these names of Krishna, Ram, and Hari. This is very degraded. So they hauled him before the Qazi and they accused him of being a offender, a blasphemer. He has given up the true religion, and they threatened to punish him. And he tried first, of course, he tried to explain, you know, to these narrow-minded folks. But they didn't want to listen, so they punished him. They beat him. They were going to beat him to death. So what to speak of Gopal Chakravarti's verbal offense? He tolerated, not only did he tolerate being beaten, he was praying to, because Lord Chaitanya appeared with the Sudarsan Chakra on the spot. He can't tolerate this kind of offense to his pure devotees. They were beating him physically to kill him with heavy, you know, with clubs, you know, and the beating was so severe, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, that an ordinary man would die within two marketplaces. And they were beating him in 22 marketplaces. So Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, of course, cannot tolerate. He appeared with the chakra immediately, ready to cut them into pieces. And Haridas, by his spiritual potencies, he could see the Lord with the chakra. And he prayed to the Lord. Not only did he tolerate the beating, but he prayed for their... He said, they don't know what they're doing. Please forgive them. The Christians think only Jesus had this mentality. They don't understand this is the standard consciousness of an exalted pure devotee. They don't recognize this. This exalted... All the pure devotees are like that. Vasudev Dat is even... There's a purport in Majjhima chapter 15 around text 108. Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that Vasudev Dad and Haridas Thakur are millions of times more advanced even than Lord Jesus Christ. The term there is Lord. We're offering all respects to Jesus Christ. We understand his exalted position. But there are reasons why, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta gave reasons why. Why is Vasudev Dad greater? Because Jesus Christ said, I will deliver those who surrender to me. And Vasudev Dat made no conditions. He's ready to take the sinful actions of everyone, whether they surrender unto him or not. No conditions. He came, one day Vasudev Dat came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is also in Majjhima chapter 15, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vasudev Dat came, he said, my Lord, my heart breaks to see the sufferings of all conditioned souls. Please send them all back to Godhead. And if you think their karmic overload is so great that they're not, you cannot pardon all their sins, and you will not therefore take them back to Godhead, I will take all their sins. Let me go to hell forever. I will accept the sins of everyone in the universe. You can't even count how many living entities there are in the universe. The number of atoms in the universe is 10 to the 80th power, according to astrophysicists. 10 to the 80th power. So there's at least that many jivas trapped in samsara in this universe. It's a vast number you cannot even imagine. The The total number of grains of sand on all the beaches of the earth is only like 10 to the 20th power, even less than that. So Vasudeva, and he was dead serious. He was literally, he said, I'm ready to suffer for all their karmic reactions. For Vasudev Dat, for his soft heart, it was greater pain to see the conditioned soul suffering than to personally accept their sufferings in Yam Loka, or the Yam Duts, punishing you horrendously. The tortures of Yamaraj are described in great in nauseating detail at the end of the fifth canto. The fifth canto describes the physical arrangement of the universe, and the final description is of the 23 hellish planets situated near the Garbhodak ocean. The setup of the universe is described. And on those 23 planets, there are horrendous, inconceivable tortures are being meted out by the Yam Duts. There's a planet called Kumbhipaka. Kumbhipaka means cooking pot. Kumbhipaka means the planet where you're being cooked alive. And those persons who throw lobsters alive, they throw the karmis, they throw lobsters into, they're living, they throw them into boiling water. Well, the lobster is still alive because it's tastier. They don't understand a living entity is suffering. So the fifth, there's a planet especially where those folks are destined to enjoy a free, all expenses paid vacation courtesy of Yamaraj. So you're being punished there. There are other hellish. There's creamy boja. Creamy means worm, and boja means eating. You get the body of a worm, and you're munching on another worm while some other worm is munching on you. As you're eating someone else is eating you. The worms are eating each other. That's creamy boja. And so there's so many horrendous tortures being meted out in this place. So for Vasudev Dat, the thinking that these living entities are going to suffer was more painful than actually experiencing the suffering itself. This is a Vaishnav. This is a real Vaishnav. Vasudev Dat was so exalted, so pure, such an exalted Vaishnav, we cannot even understand his psychology. He was truly ready to suffer. And when he made this proposal, Lord Chaitanya, please let me take all their karma. I can't tolerate them. My heart breaks to see the sufferings of all living entities, he said. And Lord Chaitanya, he was so pleased. Tears started coming out of Lord Chaitanya's eyes, and he embraced Vasudev Dat. This is the perfection of your service, when God is so pleased that the God begins crying in spiritual happiness to see your pure devotional service. That's successful. Then you know you're actually successful in devotional service when God himself is so pleased with you. So Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and he was crying, and Vasudev Dat was crying, and they were crying. And Lord Chaitanya said, I can liberate all, I can send them all back to God without your suffering. I'm the master of unlimited powers. Usually he acted as a devotee, but the pure devotees like Srivas and Vasudev Dat and Advaitacharya, everyone knew that he was the Supreme Lord. So Lord Chaitanya said, I'm going to empty out this whole universe just because of your desire. This is the potency of a pure devotee. Simply he desires something. And the whole universe is emptied out. We're actually latecomers. We were that whole universe 500 years ago. And this is not my speculation. Anchilila chapter 3, text 79 through 82, and the purport's there. 79 through 82. Everything we say in class has to be substantiated by Shastra. No speculation allowed. No bozos allowed. You have to sign. No, you know, these no bozos on the hot seat. Because it's very offensive. If I speculate, you speculate, he speculate, that's how everything's watered down. We take from Shastra. The Nichasiddhas who are seeing Krishna face to face, Kaviraj Goswami, Vrindavan Das Thakur, they're explaining what spiritual life is all about. So it's Anjula chapter 3, text 79 through 82. It is stated there directly, during the 48-year period when Lord Chaitanya was on this planet, he sent the Stavara and Jangama. Stavara means stationary, and Jangama means moving. All living entities, all bacteria, all plants, every lizard, every cockroach, Vasudev Dat was willing to suffer for every cockroach. We would normally think, what is this cockroach? Just get rid of it, get it out of here. But his heart was feeling pain. This cockroach is suffering. Every rat, Vasudev Dat was ready to suffer for people, for murderers who would have killed him for a dime. The heartless murderers, he was ready to take all their karma. This is his position. So in this purport in Majjhada chapter 15, text, it's around text 108, maybe 109, it's somewhere in that range, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is saying, this is why he's greater than even Jesus Christ. Haridas Thakur and Vasudeva, because they made no conditions. Vasudeva Dada is ready to take the karma of everyone. Jesus Christ said, you surrender unto me, then I take your karma. Krishna says that too. Prabhupada said also that Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful than Krishna. Krishna imposes a condition, sarva dharman, puritya ja. 1866, Bhagavad Gita, you have surrender, then I give the mercy. So there's condition. Lord Chaitanya doesn't ask you whether you want the mercy, he gives the mercy. Namo Mahavadangaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya, Namne Goritsa Namaha. So what is he giving? He's not giving Swargalok, he's giving Krishna Prema. Krishna Prema Pradayate. This is the power, the potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nithananda is even more merciful than Gauranga. There are pastimes, but maybe we don't have time. But let me just continue with this one, because in this purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is explaining how Vasudeva is superior even to Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. All respects are given there in the purport. But he's superior for several reasons. First, he's superior because he doesn't make conditions about who receives the mercy. And second, he's superior because aside from taking karmic reactions, if your karma was nullified instantly, that doesn't mean that you go back to Godhead. That just means you have a favorable situation, like diksha, when you receive diksha. In the next second, because your mind still has desires, you again perform fruitive activities and begin creating more karma. So just to get free from karma is not truly a great benediction. Prabhupada said Jesus Christ freed them from karma, but again they perform sins. So the Christians, says in the purport here, the Christians are constantly performing sins and then begging for forgiveness. They go to the church, they receive forgiveness, and Prabhupada said also in the Vedas there's the karma kandya kind of folks. It's the same less intelligent program of performing yagyas, materialistic yagyas, sacrifices to get free from sins, and then performing sins again because the heart is unclean. One must run again. One is forced to engage in sinful activity because the desire has not been removed. So Vasudeva Dutt, in this purport, is being described by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Vasudeva Dutt wanted to take them out of material existence, give them spiritual bodies and take them back to Godhead, completely change all their desires. Technically speaking, it's a violation of free will. Generally, Krishna doesn't do that. Only when his pure devotee begs, then he breaks all the rules. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, now I've explained all this thing and do whatever you like. And Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna does not interfere with your free will. Krishna says that in the end of Bhagavad Gita, after explaining all the philosophy to Arjuna, he says, now do what you like. That's the general procedure. But pure devotees are so powerful, they make Krishna break his rules. The pure devotee is so powerful, he makes Krishna breaks his rules, his modus operandi. That's how a pure devotee is so powerful, he brings Krishna under control. So Vasudeva Dutt, after he made the request, Lord Chaitanya took everyone back to God, which means he didn't ask them if they felt like going back to Godhead, because most of them said, sorry, I have so many other things I feel like doing. Come back later, maybe I'll be interested. He actually violated everyone's free will in the universe. All the Europeans, Christopher Columbus was living at the time, all those persons who had no interest in pure devotional service, they got the mercy because of Vasudeva Dutt. While Lord Chaitanya was enacting his leelas in India, Christopher Columbus was sailing towards America. It was the late 1400s. Lord Chaitanya appeared in 1486. So in 1492, Christopher Columbus discovered America. So they didn't understand that Vasudeva, if they had known how merciful Vasudeva Dutt, they did all sinful activities, still they went back to Godhead effortlessly. No Mangal Arti, no 16 rounds, no four regs. Simply because a pure Vaishnav, this is the power, this is why we worship. Every morning we worship Prabhupada. The pure devotees are the most worshipable. Krishna is more pleased when we worship a pure devotee than we worship Krishna himself. This is the greatest secret in Vaishnav theology. Worship, glorify, and serve the pure Vaishnavs. It's your fastest route to Krishna's mercy. Krishna is so pleased, he showers his mercy on you when you worship pure devotees. Then Lord Chaitanya turned to all the Vaishnavas and said, listen, I'm Vasudev Dutt's property. He can sell me in any marketplace. I'm no longer independent. Lord Chaitanya again and again, he turned to his devotees after hearing Vasudev Dutt's true submission and after embracing him, and they were crying together. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'll empty the whole universe. I'll send them all back there just to please you. And because you're so ready to suffer for other living entities, I'm so pleased with your mentality that Lord Chaitanya turned to all the other, his associates, Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, and Vakreshvara Pandit, all these great pure devotees. He said, listen, O Vaishnavas, I'm no longer independent. I belong to Vasudeva. I'm his servant. I'm his slave. He can sell me in any marketplace. When he sells me, I'm sold. I'm his property. I'm no longer independent. He said it again and again and again. The Vaishnavas were crying in ecstasy. They were glorifying Vasudeva. This devotee is so pure, he has captured the Lord. This is the goal of devotional service, is to please the Lord. Sometimes we forget, sometimes we get caught up in the mechanical aspects of doing things. It's not mechanical. The goal of devotional service is to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yajna Purusha for Kali Yuga. So this is amazing. This is such a pure, again and again, I've read this hundreds of times, this part of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I think about it all day long. And then you're not attacked by Maya or material desires, because if you're always thinking of the pastimes of the Lord, you're not attacked by the illusory energy. If we're struggling with material desires, it means we're not absorbing our mind deeply in the pastimes of the Lord, in the holy name of the Lord. We have to, at a neophyte stage, you have to proactively push the leelas into your mind. You have to force your mind to think. And then you get a taste. And then when you get a taste, it becomes ecstatic, and you want to naturally think about that holy name of the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord. We should always be listening. When you're working in the kitchen, you must always have the headphones on, listening constantly. This is your measure of your sincerity, Prabhupada said, that you never allow the mind to run back towards old habits, which invariably it does. As we described in the beginning of the class, the mind is identified as a material element. And as water runs downhill spontaneously, the mind in the neophyte condition spontaneously runs towards sense gratification. Therefore, if your sincerity is measured by your willingness to constantly hear and chant, put on the headphones always, speak to other devotees, be chanting Krishna's holy name while you're working in the kitchen, while you're doing everything, anything, even on book distribution, in between people I'm chanting. Don't let the material energy, don't give Maya a chance to derail your bhakti, to divert, to sidetrack you. Don't give her a chance. That's her service. She's fast and she's mean. She's right in there. As soon as you're 1 second lazy thinking about reminiscing about all the good old times when you could do all the sense gratification, the unbridled sense gratification that your mind wants. So don't let yourself get into that. If you actually want Krishna, Krishna is available to the serious devotee. Krishna is available. So thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments or corrections from the senior?
Doesn't it say don't look to the threefold bending form of Krishna if you're still attached to the...
Yes, Rupa Goswami says that. He says that. That's like the joking, the laughing side of it. Because at our stage, we have to work hard to put Krishna on our mind. But yes, when the advanced devotee sees Krishna, he forgets everything else. Krishna is so attractive. Rupa Goswami says, don't go to the bank of the Jamuna. If you still want to enjoy the material energy, don't go to the bank of the Jamuna and see Shyam Sundar and threefold bending form. Tribhanga. Tribhanga means the threefold bending. Or Shyam Sundar. Shyam means the beautiful blackish. Gora Sundar means beautiful golden. That's Lord Chaitanya. Shyam Sundar is beautiful blackish. That's Krishna.
I was thinking of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the judge. So he'd be the executioner, right? He'd put people in various punishments. And I thought I read somewhere that he had this prayer and he says, you know, I pray for them, but some part of me is, I'm kind of happy when they suffer because some of them, Am I wrong there? I don't know.
I've never heard that. I think we better check on that before that's... Generally, Vaishnavas are worshipped as Kripa Sindhu, as an ocean of mercy. We know because... Well, just think of it. Bhagavan Thakur is a... He's from the spiritual world. He came here only to give mercy to conditioned souls. So I don't... That doesn't sound very right to me. Well, and you have to support it with Shastra.
I was just thinking because he was in that position, you know, and he's seeing these people all the time, you know.
He was a grihastha. He's teaching us how you can be a grihastha, do your duties, and still be a paramahansa and transcendentalist. Interestingly enough, most of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were grihasthas. Vasudev Dutt was a grihastha. He was actually, I don't know if I can say he was the greatest Vaishnava, but certainly he was among the greatest. Srivas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, actually practically all of them were grihasthas. Why? Because in Kali Yuga, most people get married. So they're teaching how to be grihastha. You can be a paramahansa grihastha. Bhakti Thakur, in one of his songs, he says, when I perform my bhajan, Goloka Vrindavan appears in my living room. That's the power of the great Thakur's bhajan. Shuddha Bhakata Charanarenu, Bhajana Anukulna. It starts off like that. Shuddha Bhakata. The pada renu, the dust from the feet of Vaishnavas, this is very conducive for pure devotional service. And Vaishnav seva is itself the mula, the root of the bhakti lata, the creeper of bhakti, the root. So he goes on in the song to sing about his activities. When he hears the mridanga, he goes into ecstasy. When he sees Tulsi Devi, he feels overwhelmed with divine love. If you're on the pure stage, any little thing, any detail of devotional service is so ecstatic. Any little detail. It's a great song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Shuddha Bhakata Charanarenu Bhajana Anukulyana. So he's teaching. Why is Bhaktivinoda Thakur a grihastha? Why was Prabhupada a grihastha? Prabhupada did what no one else could do, all the sannyasis. Shuddha Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent his best sannyasis, Ban Maharaj and others, to Germany and England with heavy funding. They were learned. They were born in Brahmin families for many lifetimes. They were Naishtika Brahmacharis. They were never married. They fixed up pukka. They knew the Shastras left and right. They couldn't do anything. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was displeased with them, actually. He was displeased with Ban Maharaj. After he funded them heavily with Gaudiya Math funds, he sent, after 3 years, and they came in the 1930s. And Ban Maharaj even learned German. He met Hitler. He met some of the big ups, big high ups, and preached. And couldn't do anything. He brought them all back. He said, "You guys, this is useless." But the Abhai Babu, the Pacha Grihastha, the fallen Grihastha, they would joke with him. Abhai Babu, the other sannyasis would joke with him. And Prabhupada was so humble, he was just a Grihastha, he was insignificant. He did it. He spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So this is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took that position to show you can be a responsible grihastha and do your worldly duties and still be a paramahansa. All night long he would write. There's a book called The Seventh Goswami which describes the daily schedule of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In fact, the other magistrates were envious. He did all his work within 4 hours. They had to do 8 hours. And they complained to the British, this Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this Kedaranath Dutta, that was his name, this Kedaranath Dutta, he doesn't do his duties. And so the British looked in and they said, as far as we can see, he's doing better than you guys. And he's more intelligent, so he can do all the work in 4 hours. That's good. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he'd work from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., come home, take a little. It was measured out, the prasad, like it's measured one cup of milk and one chapati. The whole schedule is given in the book called The Seventh Goswami by Rupa Vilas, who describes the life story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So all night long, he would only sleep. He would go to bed like at 7:30 p.m. and wake up at 10 p.m. And then from 10 p.m. till 4 a.m., 6 hours, he was writing his wonderful books that we read, Jaiva Dharma, and what is it, Chaitanya Shiksha, Shikshamrita. So many books he wrote, the great Thakur. So you could be a grihastha and also paramahansa. There's no difficulty. And when Lord Chaitanya was dancing in ecstasy before Lord Jagannath, he said, Naham Vipro, Naham. I'm not a Vipra, I'm not a Brahmin, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Sudra, I'm not a Sannyasi. I identify myself only as servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So that should be the mood, servant of the servant. Whether you be Grihastha, Grihe Dako, Vane Tako, whether you reside in the grihe, that means the house, or the vana, just take the holy name of Hari in the pastimes of Gauranga. That's your heart can be constantly enchanted. You can be happy all day long. Just remember the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Remember the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. This is our goal, is to become ecstatic in devotion. It's so easy to become ecstatic in devotional service. If we just follow the prescription given, Prabhupada said, never let the mind space out. Idle mind is devil's workshop, Prabhupada said. Don't let the mind be idle. You don't have to speculate, will it be interested in sense gratification? You know the mind will run towards sense gratification. That's how it is. It's a material element. As water runs downhill, the mind runs towards sense gratification. But when you reach a stage, after a few decades of very intense sadhana bhakti, as Lord Kapila says in Third Canto, you actually dissolve. Lord Kapila doesn't say how long it takes, but I'm saying for ISKCON devotees who have been practicing for decades, real fired up sadhakas in ISKCON, you notice, those who have been practicing seriously for decades, then the mind starts to be, it gradually becomes transformed. You start spontaneously thinking of the pastimes of the Lord everywhere you go. And thinking how to serve the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, you think, wow, your mind is flooded with things I want to do for Krishna that day. When a neophyte wakes up, he thinks how to go back to sleep. He turns off the alarm clock. If in moderate ignorance, or if in moderate passion, you've been having lusty dreams all night, you're thinking of sense gratification. Why should I go to Mangalartik? I want to think about materialistic. That's a neophyte. So if you want to stay a neophyte, then don't do sadhana bhakti seriously. And if you want to become advanced, then you have to, in the beginning, force the mind. Prabhupada says in the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there are a few purports. You have to use force with the mind. It's chanchala. Krishna says also in 6th chapter, from wherever the mind wanders, bring it back. Force it to hear and chant. You have to, in the beginning, force is required. There are a number of verses from Bhagavad Gita I can give you, anyone after the class, if you're serious. But Krishna directly says you have to use force. But once you've used this force, once you actually succeed in Bhagavad Gita, and it doesn't have to take decades. There are devotees like Madhukari Prabhu. He's only been devotee for a couple of years. I met him in San Diego when he was a new bhakta. I trained him up, actually. I took him out and looked at him. Now he does 200 gitas a day on Warp Tour. He's already advanced. It doesn't have to take a long time. It doesn't have to take decades. I use the term decades because that's generally, if you're coming from a heavily conditioned background, you have to expect at least decades. But there are cases in ISKCON of devotees who rapidly became advanced, picking up from previous lives. So whatever your situation is, it doesn't matter. You shouldn't lament, oh, I'm one of the contaminated folks. You have to start from where you're at. You cannot start from any other position than where you're at. And if you want to actually get free from lust and greed, that's up to you. It's a decision you have to make. If you actually do want to get free from lust and greed, it is a doable process. There is a process to accomplish this goal. And the process is constantly hearing and chanting about Krishna. Wherever you go, when you're washing the pots, when you're transferring the boga, when you're doing everything you're doing, you can be constantly hearing and chanting the pastimes or the holy name of the Lord. So thank you very much. I'm sorry, I got a little carried away. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Vasudev Dat ki, Gaura Premanandi.